ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
God wants us to seek His wisdom. He wants to give us wisdom so we could walk accordingly. If you want wisdom, go to the Word of God, right? The Bible, that's where you need to start. There are a lot of people who will tell you this is what you need to do. But is it what God wants you to do? See, that's the key. Jesus said, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Ask and walk accordingly. You know, I like what Spurgeon said because I think he nailed it. He said, we are all so ready to go to books, to go to men, to go to ceremonies, to anything except to God. Consequently, the text does not say, let him ask books nor ask priests, but let him ask of God. How simple. I'm not saying we can't learn from books. We can learn from even other Christians. Why don't we, though, bring these things before God and ask for His wisdom? Well, God doesn't speak to me. I don't get, you know, the wisdom. I don't think that's true. I may not like the wisdom that God has given me, right? That's usually the problem. It's not about us choosing. It's about what God has said. And I can be totally confident that God will give me the wisdom that I need. Because that's what James says, that God gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God is so generous that he gives to us exactly what we need. In fact, I think many times more than what we need. And he does so without reprimanding us or putting us down. And God wants to give us this wisdom. It's the open hand of God, not the clenched fist of God. Think about the days we're living in, the information that's being thrust upon us, and it's increasing so much, I don't even think we can comprehend all the information that's out there. Knowledge doubled from 100 BC to 1700 in 1800 years. It doubled from 1700 to 1900 in 200 years. It doubled from 1900 to 1950 in 50 years. Knowledge doubled. It was 1800 years, 50, from 1950 to 1970 in 20 years. 70 to 80, 10 years, 80 to 88, 8 years. It's doubling every 12 months, and many feel it's going to double every 12 hours. How do you keep up with that? Online information doubles every 6 months. Biological information doubles every 18 months. Corporate information doubles every 18 months, and so does genetic and technical knowledge and clinical knowledge every 18 months. So we have all this knowledge out there. All this information, it's doubling quickly. What are we lacking? Wisdom. How do we apply these things to our lives? I think of wisdom as common sense sometimes. You know, it's just common sense. And many people just don't have that. They're not applying the wisdom that God has given to them. You know, Professor Alan Bloom touched on this in his book. It's called The Closing of the American Mind. And this is what he wrote. He says, my grandparents were ignorant people by our standards, and my grandfather held only lowly jobs, but their home was spiritually rich because all the things done in it, not only what was specifically ritual, found their origin in the Bible stories and the commentaries on them, and had their imaginative counterparts in the deeds of the myriad of exemplary heroes. My grandparents found reasons for the existence of their family and their fulfillment of their duties in serious writings. And they interpreted their special sufferings with respect to a great and ennobling past. And then the punchline from him. He said, I do not believe that my generation, my cousins who have been educated in the American way, all of whom are MDs or PhDs, have any comparable learning. When they talk about heaven and earth, the relations between men and women, parents and children, the human condition, I hear nothing but cliches, superficialities, and the material of satire. We've lost that ability to take what we know, the truths of God found in the Word of God, and apply them to our lives. There's always a new book, a new teaching. You know, and I'm just throw this out at you. 40 days of purpose. 40 days of purpose? Why don't I just dig into God's Word and see what He's got for me? You see, why do I need a man to tell me what my purpose in life is for? I really don't. And I said, like I said before, there's nothing wrong with learning from books as long as they're biblically correct. But are these things, are we using these things to help us instead of God's Word? And there's so many things out there. I need this, I need that. And what I don't hear is, I just need to pray. I just need to seek God's direction in this. We don't seem to hear that anymore. And then we wonder, I just don't know what to do. Well, have you asked? Have you sought direction from God? Well, I read this book. No, that's not what I'm asking you. Have you sought direction from God? My marriage is a mess. I don't know what to do. Okay. You know the truths of God found in the Word of God. Of course I do. How's your walk with God? What do you mean? Well, are you reading God's Word? Are you praying? Are you going to church? What are you doing? You see, it's like a triangle. Husband, wife, and God at the top. Your relationship with your spouse will never be close unless your relationship with God is close. There's the wisdom. I need to draw close to God. This is going to help not only my relationship with my wife, but my relationship with everyone. You see, you got the truths of God. I know how I'm supposed to act, but I'm not doing the things I need to. So that's not wisdom. I'm sure all of you remember the story of Solomon. Here was a man who asked for wisdom from God on how to rule a nation. And what a godly example. In 1 Chronicles 1:10, Solomon prayed, "Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours?" And in 1 Kings 3:5, we're told that the Lord met with Solomon in a dream when he was at Gibeon, where the tabernacle was located. And he just wants wisdom to rule God's people by. And Solomon, he was young, probably in his 20s. What a responsibility. Remember what his father David said to him in 1 Chronicles 29:1 and in 22:12. David told him, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding and give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God." And Solomon is just echoing the prayers of his father David. God would give him wisdom and understanding to lead his people. He couldn't do it on his own. That's great. And God gave him the desire of his heart. Solomon did not ask for personal gain, and God blessed him abundantly. And then comes the incident in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 27. And he needed wisdom to decide what to do. Two harlots both gave birth to sons within a three-day period. They lived together, and one night one of the mothers rolled over and suffocated her child while she was sleeping. And she took this dead child and switched him with the other child, hoping to fool her friend. And when she awoke and examined the child, she knew that this wasn't her son. And they bring the case before Solomon, the king. What was he going to do? How do you decide? I mean, there wasn't DNA testing, right? Interestingly enough, Solomon's solution to the problem was, you know what? Bring the child here, get out a sword, cut the child in two, give a half to each mother. That is the craziest thing in the world. No, it was the wisest thing in the world to do. Imagine how the birth mom felt. She was like, no, just give her the child. Well, the mom who was not the birth mom said, yeah, cut the child in two. Solomon was very wise in what he said. And he gives the child to the birth mom. That's wisdom. In fact, it says, all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. Absolutely. They saw that the wisdom of God was in him. We need to take that time to ask God for wisdom in a given situation. It's important. Remember what Solomon said in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That is so important because my understanding can be flawed. It can be wrong. I need to trust in the Lord, not lean on my own understanding. When I look at things, I may not see the full picture, but God does. So I need to trust in him because he's going to direct my path. He's going to show me what to do. He's going to help me in what to say in a given situation. And I can tell you, in the situations that I've been in, all the years that I've been up here, I'm always amazed because I've prayed for God to give me wisdom in these situations and make it clear, what do I do? When do I do it? And he's done so much more. I mean, it was so black and white that it made the decision very easy. And what's amazing is because even afterwards, after I go and I do what I needed to do, there's a little doubt. You know how the enemy goes, was that the right thing to do? And then you start doubting yourself. And God is so gracious and merciful that he always brings in someone else to say, hey, you know what? This was what, you know, happened here. Or this is here. That was a great thing to do. And it encourages me. You know what, Lord? You were right. I'm sorry that I even doubted afterwards. How important that is. I'm amazed how accurate God is. You know, it's kind of funny to say that, isn't it? God, you're so accurate. It's amazing. But he's God. Of course he's accurate. When I try to do it on my own, I'll mess it up. There is no doubt. I mean, you should have seen some of the home projects that I've tried to do. Oh my gosh, you know? I tried to change, in our old house back in Illinois, I was trying to change a fan and a heater unit in our family room. And I thought I turned off the power. The key word, thought, okay? And my wife, you know, she's always terrified when I do anything like that. She's ready to hit 911. And I took the screwdriver and hit something where, wow, I got the shock of my life. I flew off the ladder, and it was an amazing thing. I don't do many projects like that anymore. I don't think my heart could take it. Yeah. But you see, my wisdom, that was wrong. And my wife, you know, kept saying, did you turn off the circuit breaker? Yeah, yeah, yeah. She kept saying it. Do you think I would listen and even check?
No.
No. And, well, I got a shock for that. We need to ask God for wisdom. Isn't that simple? It's not like God says, I want you to crawl to some mountain, and then I want you to offer some sacrifice. I want you to do this. No, he says, just ask. How much more simple can that be to ask? Well, look at verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So we're not only to ask for wisdom, but when we ask, we need to ask in faith. And that's really the Christian life, isn't it? A life of walking in the faith. When you were saved, you believed by faith in the promises of God. You didn't get a signed document with your name on it saying, you know, so-and-so has an entrance into the kingdom of God. There are no emails or text messages or anything like that. How do you know that you're saved? How? Well, the only way you know is that you believe by faith in the promises of God that are found in the Word of God. We believe that the Bible tells us that we are sinners separated from God. There are none good, not even one. We're condemned to hell for our sins. That's the bad news. And then comes the good news, comes the gospel message. That God became flesh, dwelt among us. By his atoning work on the cross of Calvary and his resurrection from the dead, our sins were paid in full. And by repenting of our sins and asking Jesus to be Lord and Savior of our lives, we're saved. That's faith, trusting in the promises of God, and we do that for our salvation. But when it comes to trials, when it comes to difficulties in our lives, what happens many times is we toss faith aside, and what do? We become angry. We become bitter. We become discouraged and hopeless and so on. God, why are you doing this? Why is this happening? You know what I'm doing for you, Lord? Why is this happening to me? Not a good place to be. Paul said in Hebrews 11, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Our life begins in faith, and for many, that's where it ends. But it's not to be the case, guys. Keep in mind that James is writing to these Jewish Christians who were immature in the faith, and he wanted them to grow up. Paul in Hebrews was writing to Jewish Christians who were being persecuted as well. And so faith not only begins our Christian life, but it's something to be exercised throughout our Christian life until we go home to be with the Lord. So as we go through various trials, we ask for wisdom and faith, not doubting God's word or his ability to give us the wisdom that we need. And if you end up doubting God's word, you don't trust God, then your actions will reflect that attitude. Spurgeon put it like this. He wrote, "You know, dear friends, that there is a way of praying in which you ask for nothing and get it." Interesting, huh? But true. Now, why in the world would we doubt that God would give us wisdom for the situation we're in? Why do we ask God apart from faith, not trusting in him? There's a couple reasons. You know, some Christians who believe that they're not worthy to receive anything from the Lord, right? Why would God do that for me? I'm not worthy. I'll let you in on a little secret. You're right. None of us are worthy. It's not because we're so good. It's not because we're worthy. It's because of his wonderful grace that he's given to us. So you can throw that one out. It's irrelevant. Many feel that they're not important to God, that God's too busy. Well, again, that makes no sense. God became flesh, dwelt among us to go to the cross of Calvary, to die for our sins, because he loves us that much, and now he's going to ignore you because he's too busy. God's not too busy, okay? And others don't seek the wisdom of God in a situation. They don't ask God for his wisdom because they're angry with God for allowing this to come into their life in the first place. But God is working. Our life is not a mess. It's exactly what God wants us or we need to go through. It's the testing of our faith. It produces patience, endurance, James said. It's working in us that we may become perfect or mature, complete, lacking nothing. God's working in us so he can work through us. And here's the thing. And I thought about this question. When I was thinking about it, at first I thought it was an easy question. And then I thought about it some more. I thought, you know what, there's more to it than that. And I may have shared this with you before, but here's the question. If I could go back, if you could go back and change the things that happened to me, to you, in your life, in my life, would I change anything? Would you change anything? Think about all that you've gone through in your life, all the difficulties you went through, all the bad decisions you made. Would you change anything? The easy answer is, of course I would. There are things that happen in my life that, man, I would not want to go through again. I would just eliminate it, and it would be better. I came to the conclusion that I wouldn't want to change anything because all the things that happened in my life is making me the man that I am today. As hard as it is, God was working through those tough times. And I'll tell you what, if I didn't go through those tough times, I will go through those tough times, okay? Because those are lessons I need to learn. And I think that's important. You know, sometimes we lose sight that God is working because it is overwhelming, isn't it, sometimes? But God is in control. He's in control of the entire universe. The billions upon billions of billions and billions of stars, all the planets, everything that's out there, he's in control of. He knows the very numbers of hairs on your head. Is he in control? Absolutely. Then why don't I feel like it? Because the things that are happening in your life and feelings can mess us up. Whoa, whoa, feelings, right? And I won't sing it because that would be scary. But how true that is. Feelings mess us up. Let's get back to the correct perspective. God's in control. Lord, what are you showing me? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? Ask for wisdom and he will give it to you. Do you think God is just going to ignore us? I don't believe that's true. It's not what his word says. He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. And James says, look, you know, a person who doesn't ask for wisdom and faith, and we'll deal with that more in a few minutes, but it's like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. This is kind of a roller coaster faith. And what I mean by that is their faith is up and it's down. And it's up again, and it's down again. And it's just like, you know, how riding a roller coaster. You're up and down, it's a great ride, but it's not a great way to live out your faith. 1 minute trusting God to help you, the next minute, you're not. And this is what James is dealing with, this immaturity with these Jewish believers. Paul is talking in Ephesians 4 about false doctrine coming into the church, but he said that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Let's apply this to, you know, the things that are happening in our lives. We shouldn't be tossed all over the place in regard to our faith. We need to stand strong because God is with us. And I'm not saying, please, don't come to the conclusion that we, you know, never doubt or have struggles. The thing is, can we get back to the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to comfort our lives and guide us instead of feelings or emotions or situations? Turn to Proverbs chapter 2. In Proverbs chapter 2, we're going to pick up in verse 1 and listen to what we're told. We're told, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and he preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. To deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness." Wow, I mean, what is being said here is, look, ask God for wisdom in what you should do, where you should go, how you should live out your life. Apply these things. It's not just the head knowledge, it's living it out. Very wise words. And you have to be in God's Word. And God will speak to you as you're reading through His Word, as you're digging into His Word. The psalmist said, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for the God, for the living God." Do we hunger and thirst to know God more and more? We need to. And the way you get to know God is by reading His Word and letting His Spirit open up the Word of God to your heart, to your lives. It's not just the information, it's the application. Now, what we see in Proverbs chapter 2 here is that if you receive my words, if you incline your ear to wisdom, if you apply your heart to understanding, if you cry out for discernment, if you lift up your voice for understanding, crying out to God for understanding, if you seek her as silver, if you search for her as for hidden treasure, the result will be that you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. How wonderful that is. That's perfect. That's what I need. That's what I'm seeking. God doesn't hide his wisdom for us, but he does want us to, from us, he does want us to dig it out, to search for it. And I truly believe if God's word is important to you, then you will dig out these nuggets. And if it's not important, you won't. The things gleaned from God's word can change our life. Whereas the things of the world tend to either be useless or they don't help us. And many times they can hurt us. They bring us down. Obviously not everything, but with God, it's never, never for our destruction. It's always to build us up, to edify us, to restore us or whatever. I'll give you one example of something that may look great, but it's really of no value. And I'm not picking on this group of people, okay? If anyone is a bodybuilder here, forgive me, okay? You can holler at me afterwards. But a bodybuilder, right? Right? Okay, not so much with me. But what are they doing? They're building up their muscles. Man, they got muscles where I didn't even think you had muscles, right? It's incredible. They look awesome. What's the purpose? Stand in the mirror or to show everyone my muscles. Which way's the beach, right? It's no help. We need to set our priorities, to know, to understand the fear of the Lord, and He will give us the wisdom that we need in life.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's Word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's Word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.